Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Kate Kelly is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Kate's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a longtime friend and very smart lady. She is a professional writer. She's an organizational expert, one of our Brain Trust top organizational experts. She's also the lady who helps people like you and me set and get our fees. In fact, that's the title of one of her books, How to Set Your Fees and Get Them. Kate, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
It's good to have you back. And you and Ronnie Eisenberg wrote Organize Yourself and Organize Your Startup, two different books. And now the Organize Yourself is that in the third edition now?
Yes, we're third edition, and it's about 500,000 copies in sales. So
Wow. It's
done extremely well. People obviously continue to be disorganized, unfortunately for us, unfortunately for them.
Well, exactly. And you're like the dentists who keep telling people to brush their teeth and don't eat sweets, but they know people aren't going to.
So we keep cranking out dentists. In my house too.
Well,
it's just a continual daily battle to stay organized.
Well, here's the thing, and they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, Kate. Here's the thing: if you can't get your business going and growing, you won't have anything to get unorganized about. And in order to do that, you've got to be able to find customers and charge them enough to stay in business, don't you?
Absolutely.
And so that's what we want to talk about today: is how to make sure that we can build a business that can actually become a little bit unorganized. In fact, that's part of it, isn't it, Kate? I mean, growing businesses have a tendency to be unorganized because that's what growth does. It creates a little bit of chaos, but growth comes from customers paying us money, doesn't it?
Yes. And actually, the reason that I originally wrote How to Set Your Fees and Get Them was I used to teach a publicity class, and people would come to me, and we'd strategize on how they were going to get their name in the news. It would work out, they'd be successful, and the next phone call would be, they'd be in the New York Times or something, and they'd call me later that day saying, I've got my first client, now what am I going to charge? So that's a good lesson to think about early on. Like, when you're thinking about starting that business, is a good time to think about how the heck am I going to charge what I need to make ends meet.
So don't be like the dog who chased the car and caught it. Now what do I do with it?
Exactly.
Make sure before you chase the car and before you catch it, you already know what you want to charge, right?
Exactly.
So how do we do that?
Well, part of it is listening around and kind of hearing. You probably are starting a business in an area where you've already been working. If not, you're probably going to start networking with people in similar businesses, and you kind of need to start hearing how people charge and what people are willing to pay. Part of it is the strategy of how, like, is this the kind of business where, like, if somebody goes to a therapist, nobody pays on a per-day rate. They pay on a per-hour rate. So you're obviously, you've got to categorize where you are. My favorite way to bill people is usually a project rate, but that's not applicable in all businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But the project rate lets you come up with, like, no client wants to come to you and say, give you an open-ended check. They want to know how much that quote-unquote suit is going to cost.
I'm still looking for that client.
It's going to cost them. So they want to have a set price, and if you're able to estimate how long the job is going to take and can give them a set price, it also lets you control your life a little bit better. Some companies, really do want to pay on a per-day rate, and if that's the standard in the industry in which you're working, then you need to set the day rate, and you've got to be honest about what it is. It has to be one you're comfortable with putting out there.
Kate, one of the things I want to do right now is kind of broaden this a little bit so everybody can play. I have worked in a business where I sold stuff, and there was raw materials involved, and there was production and manufacturing and things like that. And you sold those things based on what those things cost you, what it cost to be in business, and what your margin needed to be. So that wasn't all that hard. It was just a matter of doing the math and that sort of thing. And then I've worked where I was in the personal services business, where I had to charge strictly 100% for me, for the availability of me and the things that I had to say. But then I've also been where that was combined with some other areas, some other deliverables, so to speak. And I guess what I'm getting at is setting your fees is an important thing that you talk about, but it's not just about setting your fees. Isn't it also about understanding how the client, how the customer is motivated to do business with you? Isn't that very important?
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of it is the psychology of where you want to be. For example, if you're just starting out, there's nothing wrong with lowballing a job and going in as the cheapest person. You need to get the credential. You need to get your foot in a door. Mm-hmm. You need to start out with the lower rate. Later on, you may never want to be the low person. You always want to be the blue chip service. So you specifically price 10% above where you think your competition is going to be. The more expertise you gain, different. I got a phone call one day from a person who said, I've been in to meet with a client. The job they have for me is very similar to one that I did for another company, but there was no conflict in doing it for somebody else. I know exactly how to solve their problem. If I bill them on a time basis, it'll only be a couple hundred dollars. Mm-hmm. If I only bill them a couple hundred dollars, they're not going to value my service.
Right.
So we came up with a multiple of a couple of hundred dollars simply because in order for the company, it was a major company, in order for them to believe in the service and to value the service and to implement the training for all their people to use this system she was going to deliver to them, she needed to price her creation that she'd already created in the past because of many years in the business more as a product than as a service for them. And so she came up with a fee, went in, presented the information, and you know they were happy to pay that amount, and they would not have valued the service if she'd actually billed them on a time basis.
That's one of the things. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you used that word product, because that's one of the things personal services people almost never think about, is the idea of presenting what they do as a form, in the form of a product packaged up in a nice carton and with a bow around it.
Exactly. And that's exactly what she had done for them. And if it had been delivered any other way, it just would not have been valued.
And don't forget, folks, people need to pay for your availability, not just when you're there, not just what you say, but for your availability. That's worth something to people. And if it's not worth something to them, then you got the wrong prospect. 20 after, we're going to be right back with Kate Kelly. We got more fees to set right after these messages.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Kate Kelly is our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, she's the author of the newly revised edition of How to Set Your Fees and Get Them. Kate, you want to give us your website and tell us where your books are available, please?
You know, right now, www.katekelly.com.
All right, that's Kelly with only one E, and Kate with a K, as you can imagine. And so check that out when you get a chance. And the books are available wherever books are sold, I'm sure.
Yes, they are, and easily available at the online bookstores.
I got you. Okay, Kate, we're talking about how to make sure you set your fees. I really love the idea of what you're talking about creating products. I used to do business plans for companies, and I was always trying to find a way to build a relationship, to build an engagement with companies. And early on, I established a price, and I said, for this price, I will write a business plan with you. I will help you write a business plan for this amount of money. And it became my business plan product, and I did a lot of them like that. I probably on a per hour basis, some companies got a better deal than others did. But some of them, I worked too much on it, and some I didn't take as much time. But the thing is, it was also good for the customer because they knew what they were going to spend.
Exactly, which is an important piece of that. And an example in the book has to do with attorneys. Like if you're doing wills and that sort of thing, there's no sense in not just coming up with a set price. It gets you an opportunity to get to know a client, and you'll establish a relationship from there, and more business will follow. So it's definitely a good way to go. And I think when people are pricing things so often, they don't think about how it's going to be perceived by the customer. And that, of course, is absolutely the most important thing, because they're the ones who have to open their wallet.
One of the things that people who work on an hourly basis, people who have personal services types of businesses, need very desperately is they need continuity of cash flow. More than they need, you know, to make $200 an hour, they need to make sure that there's cash flow coming in every month. And one of the problems we have, Kate, people who do that have, is that they get so busy delivering their services that they don't have time to market and to grow new customers. And so they have these ups and downs, these gyrations in income. And if you can figure out a way to get customers to retain you, to get your clients to retain you, even if it means taking a discount, make that discount. I found, Kate, that if you tell customers, for example, if you say, okay, my normal rate is $100 an hour, let's say, but if you will promise me that you use me 10 hours a month, I'll give you an $80 an hour rate for the next year.
And that's a great example to establish some sort of system with a regular client and keep it going so that you do have the regularity of cash flow. Yeah, most of us need one of those steady clients. Then you need the one where you're making a little bit more money. And then you have to remember, and this is something I learned a little belatedly because business was very good for a while, you really need to devote some part of each week to meeting new clients.
Yep.
Just being out. It could be going to lunch with somebody and handing them your business card. It could be going to a cocktail business gathering. Anything that just lets you have a way of letting people know you're out there and, you know, paying a sales call down the line when you're at the stage where you need the work. You just got to keep things gyrating because you never know when something's going to fall through, too.
One of the things that I've seen people make mistakes about, Kate, when they were working on a fee basis like you're talking about, is that they require every customer to do business with them the way that they want to do business, not the way the customer wants to do business. And everybody out there that is a prospect for you may never have worked. Some of them may never have worked with someone who's a consultant, someone who works on an hourly basis. They may never have paid somebody $100 an hour for some kind of work. And you've got to find that out, don't you, to see what they're comfortable with.
Exactly, and that's one good reason. If you can get away with not saying what your hourly rate is, it's a help. That's why it's better to say, I can do this job for you for $660, rather than saying, I can do this job in 6 hours and it's going to be $100 an hour.
Right.
Because people can become very judgmental if they're not used to paying that way. And $100 an hour can seem like a king's ransom.
Well,
some circumstances.
Well, exactly, because it isn't for people who are used to working with folks like
right.
that, with consultants.
Exactly.
And that's the reason why whenever I was a full-time consultant, I would ask them how much experience, I would literally say, how much experience have you had working with consultants? If they said none, I knew my work was cut out for me.
That's a good point. Another good question to always ask is, what do you expect to pay for this job?
Mm-hmm.
Because that way you find out where their budget is. And if they can throw out the figure first, you can decide, they just do not have the money that's going to make it worth my time. Or that you can say, I can work around this.
Well, or when they say that they want you to do this, what I would be asking them is, if this was accomplished, what you just said, if that was accomplished 100%, what would that be worth to your company?
That's a good one.
Yeah, and get them to give you some kind of number, and then obviously, you know, you're probably not going to charge them $1 million, which they may have said, but that puts your price in perspective, doesn't it?
Exactly. That's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you can kind of, you know, if you think you can sort of guarantee at least, you know, maybe some percentage of that. Hey, Kate, thank you for being here. Give us your website again, please.
www.katekelly.com.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. You always bring us good stuff.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Kate Kelly, ladies and gentlemen. Also, don't forget her book, along with Ronnie Eisenberg, her co-author, Organize Yourself, now in third edition. Quick break, right back with Bill Coleman. He's with Salary.com. We're going to find out how much you're losing in your company that employees are when employees are wasting time. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.